Michigan for a little while, and I had this lady that the youth pastor had left, so I was the education pastor, so I kind of took on that role, and I was working with a husband and wife team, and they were supposed to be the youth pastor, but he was like really freaking out, so all three of us kind of split the position up, and his wife came to me later, and she's sitting in my office, and she goes, I had no idea. She said, I worked, I mean, shoulder to shoulder with Bro Moorhead. I was there with him all the time. And I had no idea there was this much work to it. I'm like, uh-huh. See, it doesn't make sense because all you do is come to church and they sing and worship and preach. Hey, how much work could there be to it? And I'm telling you, if you want to know, help next year at Kids Revival. Or just put it together for them. And you'll be like, oh, God, I love you people so much. Because there's a lot of work, and I can see the work that's put in. When I come to the church, I saw the stuff that your staff has put in. I saw the hard work. There was a lot of background stuff. There's been a lot of new names gathered. I'm telling you, God is doing some big things. Matter of fact, we had first-time visitors get the Holy Ghost, didn't we? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's doing good things in your city. Hallelujah. I want to say thank you to Pastor. I said it this morning. I'll say it again. Your pastor is not afraid to surround himself with people that are qualified, and that's a great characteristic. Man, I'm telling you. Oh, I just like this church. There's so many little things that you do, Pastor, that nobody else does, and I'm like, yeah. I love to go to churches that are so great like this because it makes me look like a genius. See, I do seminars. I'm like, you know what? You could do this and this. Oh, you're so smart. I'm like, no. I just go to all these churches and see all these great ideas. And I love that your pastor is not afraid to empower you. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. There are some people that would watch some of the things he does and think that he's actually slacking. I'm like, uh-uh. It's harder work doing what he does. I'm watching. But I'm telling you what, he's not afraid to let you know that you have the Holy Ghost and you have power inside of you to pray for sick, to pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, to pray people through to the Holy Ghost. The Bible didn't say let the pulpit do it. It said let the people that are called by my name humble themselves and pray. I'm telling you, God will heal our land, but it takes us to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm relaxing. You ready, Sister Moore? My wife is not she can sing, but she doesn't like to. And so she likes to sing with her hands. I'm going to try to do this wired, but I have a special request to do this. You know, I do a lot of signing, teaching and stuff. And I see guys that are afraid to do it. Wimps. And mainly it's because, you know. Hallelujah. I got to get my equipment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, y'all ready? You can be seated for just a moment. Matter of fact, before I get started, I'd like to show you something. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, there was this sweet little girl. She was a nice little girl, and her dad owned a paper bag company. Oh man, he made any kind of paper bag you can possibly imagine. Made big paper bags, little paper bags, colored paper bags, odd-shaped paper bags, made all kinds of paper bags. One day, there was a knock at the door, and a little girl went and answered the door, and there was this old gentleman standing there she had never seen before, and she says, well, hello. He says, hi, how are you doing? She said, just fine. He said, here, keep this, you'll need it for later, and handed her a paper bag. And she took it and looked at it and looked at it and says, well, thank you very much, in her polite way. And he turned around and left. And she thought, doesn't he know who I am? My dad owns the largest paper bag company in the world. I can get any kind of paper bag that I want, any shape, any color, any size. So she threw it away and went about her business. The next month, there was a knock at the door. And there was that same old gentleman. And he said those same strange words. Says, hello. He says, here, keep this. You'll need this for later. And in her polite way, she said thank you, because she'd always been taught to be polite and kind and generous. And she said thank you very much. And she took it, and later she just discarded it. The next month come around, and the same thing happened. The same old gentleman walked up and said those same strange words, says, here, keep this, you'll need this later. And she said in her kind, polite, gentle way, says, oh, thank you very much. And then later, she's like, oh, I'll just discard it. And so she'd throw it away later. Well, years went by, and sure enough, the man came every month, every month, every month. The lady grew up. She met a man who worked at her father's company, and she married him. And next thing you know, she falls in love, and they get married. They have kids. I mean, during this whole ordeal, this lady would show up, and every month, this man would show up and speak to this lady and hand her a simple brown paper bag and say, here, keep this. You'll need it later. Life went on. Then one month, all within one month, everything seemed to have crashed and fall to the ground. She said, she was sitting there thinking, you know, I'm not quite sure what I want to do. Her dad passed away. The company fell through the floor. Her husband was out of work. They didn't have any money. And here was a knock at the door. And this old elderly gentleman handed her a paper bag right in the middle of all this and says, here, keep this. You'll need this later. You know, that's the last time she saw that old gentleman. The next month, he didn't show up, or the next month. And a couple months later, she was cleaning house. And right there next to the door, there was this little stand. And she said, you know, what is this? And she picked it up, and there was that paper bag, and a flood of memories hit her. And she thought about all those times that she played in her father's factory. She thought about all those times that, you know, she met her husband, all these different things, and that same gentleman that would come to the door every day. And she hugged it dear to her heart, and she stopped. And she opened up the bag. And to her surprise, when she pulled it out, there was one single gold coin inside that paper bag. And she started to weep, because she realized that every month, for years, this gentleman had walked up and handed her a brown paper bag, plain and simple, with one gold coin in it. And she threw it away every month. God gave me that story because there was a lady, there was a young girl at church, and this preacher was preaching, and he looked at her, and he even pulled her out and was using her as an example, and he was talking to her, and she wasn't getting it. And I could just see her thinking, you know, doesn't he know my dad's a preacher? Doesn't he know I go to church every Sunday, that I can get sermons in any shape, form, fashion, or whatever? But yet wrapped inside that normal, plain sermon was one gold coin. Now, you may not think it intimidating, but I've been to your website. I've seen the preachers y'all had. I've seen the preachers that are coming. I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing there? I'm just a little skinny, blonde-headed, spiky-headed fella, you know? I'm like, I'm not even big enough to be as good as some of them. And sure, maybe you come for some deep theological insight, you know, and that's great and fine, and I love all that. Boy, I love to talk about the deep things, you know. Or most of the time, listen about the deep thing. You know. But the bottom line is this. I don't care if it's a 14-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 45 or 50-year-old. When they preach, if you listen and you learn to love the Word, you will find one gold nugget in every sermon you hear. And if you will learn to just find, it may not be the whole message. If you can learn to find that one little thing and tuck it back and tuck it away, when you turn around, you'll be able to open up that treasure chest and go, man, look at what I've got. Just one. Now, I'm going to say a lot of different things and hit quite a few subjects, and I really prayed about this. I wasn't sure because, you know, I have some messages that are fun. I had one tonight. Man. The way they keyed up tonight, Sister Moore, it's been really hard not to. I got one that just, y'all be preaching me to death, I'd be hoarse, and y'all be running over me before the night was over. And I'm like, yeah. So I may even hit on a little bit anyway, but just in case y'all don't get stirred up enough, I'll just. But it's very important that we learn. Matter of fact, I'll give you an example. I had a young guy that really didn't know anything, you know. I mean, he was just starting to preach. And he said, do you know why God allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be thrown in a fiery furnace? He's preaching. And I've never heard this. The guy was like 13 or 14. He goes, because if that God had delivered him before then, it could have been said that it was by their strength, their charisma, and that they did it. But the way it worked out, it could only be said that God did it. And I was like, ooh, there's a nugget. He didn't study that out. There was no big philosophy, theological education stuck behind there. It was the simple fact that he was like, you know, that's kind of cool. And what we've got to learn is I don't care. And I'm telling you, this church is great about this. I don't care who it is. I don't care if, even if they're preaching over your head and you don't understand it, listen, you'll catch something. Okay? If it's too simple, you'll find something. Hallelujah. You may not can use it, but keep it. You'll need it for later. Hallelujah. All right, let's turn to page one in our little golden book here. I figure if you want to preach and you're going to preach good, might as well start at the beginning, huh? Far, far to the west of everywhere is the village of Lower Train Switch. All the baby locomotives go there to learn to be big locomotives. The young locomotives stream up and down the tracks, crying their long, out the long, sad toot of the big locomotives. But the best they can do is a gay little toodle. I told you, page one of our little golden book. What are y'all reading? Lower Train Switch has a fine school for engines. There are lessons in whistle blowing. Kids' church is over. Y'all can actually just say it. How's that? But y'all do a very fine whistle blow. Huh? Do it again. Man, y'all easy. Everybody say. Let's just go eat, baby. Forget this. There's been one phrase my wife keeps saying. I'll ask her, you know, she goes, you just look like you're having fun. I'm like, yeah. I am. You guys are just a blast. Pastor's going to be mad when I leave. Because I'm just going to pack up some of your young people, take them home with me. I'm like, we're going to take that one and that one and that one. We could use them. Just stick them on the front way and say, go. Okay, everybody say whistleblowing. Lower Train Switch has a fine school for engines. There are lessons in whistleblowing. No, just say it. Stopping for red flags waving. Puffing loudly when starting. Coming around curves safely. Screeching when stopping. And clicking and clacking over the rails. They ain't getting it. Now see, that's twice. If y'all just get this, we could go home early. There are lessons in whistleblowing. Stopping for red flags waving. Puffing loudly when starting. Coming around curves safely. Screeching when stopping. And clicking and clacking over the rails. But of all the things that are taught in Lower Train Switch School for Locomotives, the most important is, of course, staying on the rails no matter what. Right. Tell you what. Here you go, Sister Moore. Oh, Pastor here. Keep this. You'll need this later. Hallelujah. Trust me on this one. All right, first of all, let's go from the top here. There are lessons in whistleblowing. This does not mean tooting your own horn. Welcome to Lower Train Switch, Lower Train Switch School for Locomotives. That's where you're at. This is where little locomotives learn to be big locomotives. And there are all kinds of lessons here. One of them is whistleblowing. And whistleblowing, again, is not tooting your own horn. Whistleblowing is witnessing. The Bible says proclaiming the gospel, going to all the world, telling them. Does anybody know what the gospel is? What is the gospel? Not the definition of the word. What is the gospel? Come on. 95% of Pentecostals don't know the answer to this question, so don't feel bad. I'll make it easy. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's everything. Everything. That's the axis for everything. Everything pivots on that. Death, burial, and resurrection. Repentance, baptism, and Holy Ghost. God created light. I love this one. Here's your deep theological thing. You know, God created light. And we all say, oh, the sun. No, that's not what he said. The Bible says he created light. Not the sun. Later he created the source for light. But the Bible says he created light. And light and darkness were all mixed together because he had to separate them. He created the concept of light. I love how God can create things that man think that they can do, but we only tear it apart. Like, for example, what's the formula for water? H2O. Do you know what happens when you put hydrogen and oxygen together? It goes boom. Am I right? You take hydrogen and oxygen, and God goes, oh, no, drink it. Yeah, go figure. You put hydrogen and oxygen, hallelujah. But that's the kind of God that I serve. And so therefore, the death, burial, and resurrection. First of all, you have to learn to be a witness. It does not come naturally. You learn to teach Bible studies. You learn to talk to people. Again, just this morning, I said, you don't walk around going, you're going to hell. That's a way of witnessing, but doesn't make it right. So you have to learn how to whistleblowing. The second thing is, you have to learn to stop for red flags waving. This means stop. That's it. Yeah, we'll get more of that later. Then you have to do puffing loudly when starting. There's always a noise when it starts. This is tongues. There is speaking in tongues when you get the Holy Ghost, but then you learn to pray in tongues. And you have to learn to prophesy. That means you have to learn to whistle blow and speak in tongues. You have to learn, because Paul said, you need to be preaching and this. He says, I speak in tongues more than you all. But you have to learn to pray in your understanding and pray in the spirit. How will you? Puffing loudly when starting. And then coming around curve safely. Everybody say, do not get distracted. You got to stay focused. Because man, when them life comes in, and God changes you. Don't we hate that? It's nice whenever you got cruise on. You just like, you're just cruising along. Boy, when God just changed, you got to learn to stay focused. You think you can set cruise on whenever you're living for God. Don't work that way. Nope, sorry. Hallelujah. Fall on your face. Screeching when stopping. What type of noise do you make when you stop? Huh? You get your feet checked. Think about this. Pastor says, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I felt that. I even said that this morning. I'm thinking, that's for tonight. Pastor says, you know what? I don't want you doing nothing. Sit down. All of a sudden, man, money's going good, and God goes, takes it all away. Like, what type of noise do you make when all of a sudden life is going health and you get sick? All of a sudden, finances are gone. Are you griping? What type of noise do you make when all of a sudden everything just stops? When everything shuts down, ministry's going good, and bam, you hit a wall and you just stop. Praise him anyhow. You know, Sister Moore, the Bible says praise him in all things. You see, the reason God will sometimes stop you is just so you can practice screeching when stopping. Just so you can learn to praise him in the good times and praise him in the bad times. You have to learn to worship when things are not going good. I remember years ago, I moved to South Louisiana, and I got this earache. I was probably 18 or 19. I got this earache. I was hurting so bad. And I went that morning, and I was asked to teach a Sunday school class, and I went. I didn't know nothing about teaching Sunday school class. And I took cardboard, made a sword. Imagine that, me with props. And I made a sword, and I'm talking and teaching, and that night I go home, I could not get out of bed. I was hurting so bad. And finally I said, God, I'll do anything. And he spoke to me and he says, why would you worship me when you feel good if you won't do it when you feel bad? I said, I get it, God. No matter what happens, I'm going to love you. Do you know within 2 days, my earache was gone. I'd had it a week. I got it. I understood it. It was like, I'm going to worship when it's good, and I'm going to worship when it's bad. And I'm telling you, that lesson's been very useful. Because it rains on the just and the unjust. Sometimes God does it. Sometimes it's just life. And if you're breathing, you're going to have good things happen to you. If you're breathing, you're going to have bad things happen to you. If you're dead, it doesn't matter anyway. So, but you got to learn. That's why we go here. That's why we come to church. That's why we get the encouragement. Hallelujah. Clicking and clacking over the rails. Clickety, clickety, clack, clickety, clack. It's called being consistent. It's not to the swift. It's not to the fast. You got to learn to be consistent. But the most important is stand on the rails no matter what. Go ahead, Sister Moore. Read the rest of this. What's on the next page?
The head of the school is an old engineer named Bill.
Oh, Bill. Well, let me introduce you. The engineer. The engineer is the one who's in control. He's the one that controls everything, okay? That'd be God. Okay? His name's not Bill. But just so y'all keeping up. Okay, go ahead.
Bill always tells the new locomotives that he will not be angry if they sometimes spill the soup pulling the diner or if they turn the milk to butter now and then.
You but see? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, let me jump in here. It's okay that you spill the soup every now and then. It's all right that you make a mistake. Say that again. Read that real quick again, Sister Moore. Bill tells him what?
That he will not be angry if they sometimes spill the soup pulling the diner, or if they turn the milk to butter now and then.
But
they will never, never be good trains unless they get 100 A+ in staying on the rails no matter what.
It's okay if you make a mistake. I mean, now you shouldn't practice it. Because you have to get a 100 A+ on staying on the rails. And I know, man, and that's what we talked about even this morning. It's like, oh, man, we get this real jerky start trying to get going. And you'll spill the soup on the inside. You'll make mistakes in your spirit. You'll make mistakes on the inside that nobody sees. See, that's the trick about Pentecost. Everybody's always, hallelujah. She's shouting already. Look at there. See, you see, the difference between Pentecost and everybody else and the new people that come in is we're good at not closing the shades and not letting everybody see the inside mistakes. We can hide it well, but we make mistakes. But see, the trick is every now and then you'll spill the soup or you'll shake enough, it's like trying to get moving, that you'll turn the milk to butter. Why is that okay? Because eventually you'll get it. Eventually you'll have to stop and go again, and it'll be just smooth sailing because that can be learned. You know, trying new things in the ministry can be learned, Pastor. You know, we try new things in life and we try a new, you know, if you've started a new job and you've never worked a new job, man, it's rough getting into the groove. But then the next time you go to a different job, God shifts you to something else. It's like, oh, well, this ain't so bad. You know why? Because you learn. But you can never be a good flyer unless you get a 100 A+ on staying on the rails. Everybody say, stay on the rails. No matter what. Say, stay on the rails, no matter what. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
One day, a new locomotive named Toodle came to school.
Toodle! Everybody say, hi, Toodle. Oh, wait a minute. I need a Toodle. Let's see. Oh, that's sweet of you. Volunteer, come here. I'll tell you what. You know, youth pastor's not here, but isn't it great how they love the pastor and they buy him it. Come here. Don't be scared. I ain't going to bite you much anyway. But they love the pastor and they buy him a car. They love him and they buy him a suit and they do all these nice things. They love the youth pastor and they roll his yard. They fork his yard. That's the difference. Man, you can tell a youth pastor on the way to the church, man, there's this yard rolled and it's like, oh, they love you. Hallelujah. Come here. You can help me. Come here. And you want to help me? Do it anyway. Come on. Okay, come on, get over here. Aren't y'all paying attention? Stay on the rails. Okay, right here. Yeah, and you in the back, and you right here in the middle. Okay, go ahead, Sister Moore. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Here's the finest baby I've seen since old 600,
thought
Bill.
Boy, he's good looking. How you doing, Toodle?
He patted the gleaming young locomotive. How would you like to grow up to be the flyer between New York and Chicago?
How would you like to be a flyer between New York and Chicago?
If a flyer goes very fast, I should like to be one, Tootle answered. I love to go fast. Watch me.
I love to go fast. Oh boy, he took off. Go ahead.
He raced all around the roundhouse. Good, good, said Bill. You must study, whistle boy.
Oh, no, wait. See, I love it. Man, you get somebody new in church and they're like, ooh. If a flyer goes fast, I can do that. Oh, man, they like to do it. Boy, they'll run around the church. They'll jump. They'll offer to do every job in the church all at the same time. I mean, it doesn't matter. If a flyer goes fast, I can do that. You know, and I love it because they come back and the pastor's like, good. And keep going.
You must study, whistleblower.
But you must study. Whistleblowing.
Puffing loudly when starting.
Puffing loudly when starting.
Stopping for a red flag.
Stopping
waving,
for red flags waving.
And pulling the diner without.
And pulling the diner without spilling.
The soup.
So we got Tootle, we got the dining diner, and then we got the caboose. Hallelujah. Okay, put your hands on his shoulders. Don't kill him or anything, but. So here we got two. And man, and it's true, boy, we get these new people in church. They're like, yeah, whatever you need done, man, we'll do it. And it's like, that's great. That's great. You know, I mean, it's great that you worship, but you must learn to, you know, practice your screeching when stopping, your whistle blowing. You know, you got to practice all that and practice pulling the diner without spilling the soup. You know, you got to learn to, you know, get them starts going and stuff. So, you know, there are. But that doesn't make sense. Oh, man, isn't that aggravating, young people? Man, you just all ready to get going. I had a guy one time tell me, Pastor, he says, I want to be a missionary. And I'm like, he had a bad back and wouldn't do nothing around the church. And I'm like, And I said, man, I thought you had a bad back. Well, yeah, I was like, what about building churches? Oh, I just thought a missionary walked around and taught Bible studies, you know, and talked about Jesus. I'm like, no, they do a whole lot more than that. It's like, I had a lady tell my mom one time, oh, this is terrible. She says, I preach to you because you'll get it. I said, she goes, well, I've been praying that God would give me a burden to clean the church. Mom says, while you praying, I'm going to go clean the toilets. You know, it's great that you want to be all spiritual and stuff, but some things just need to be done. Visitors need to be greeted. The church needs to be taken care of. Trash. Oh, this is my favorite. Here's the side. Hold on, Sister Mo. I'll get right back to you. Hold on just a second. Had this test. All these preachers were there, and they were going through. I just heard about this. This was hilarious. And they went through all these tests written and all this other stuff, and they did all of this. And I'm preaching to women all the time. I'll get over here with y'all for a second. And the guy that was over the seminar, they had to pass one more test, and they could get their license. And so they all showed up, and I can picture them there, praise the Lord, how you doing? You know, I preach our hallelujah, praise God. And they all shaking hands. They all come in the foyer, and they sit down. And the guy gets up and says, okay, he's the only one that passed. Y'all can go home. What? He had left a cup or a piece of paper dropped in the foyer, and he was the only one that picked it up. I was like, yeah. I actually watched one of my young ministers drop something saw something on the ground, kicked it to the side. I'm like, mm-mm. You see, you have to learn to be a servant. You see, it's nice that you want to be all excitable and preach, but you must learn how to whistle blow. Got to teach in Bible studies. You got to be a witness. And that's not just in certain situations. That's all the time. That's in your lifestyle. That's why that whistle blows constantly. You got to learn to practice whistle blowing, screeching when stopping. You got to learn to be good, you know, whenever bad things happen. Praise God anyhow. You know, you got to learn to stop for red flags waving. There are some logistics. There are some very basic principles you've got to learn to do. It's nice you're all gung-ho, but you got to learn this stuff. Hallelujah. That's why you're at church, though. Don't you feel lucky? Y'all so blessed. Go ahead, Sister Moore. What's next?
But remember, you can't be a flyer unless you get 100 A+ and staying on the rails.
But you can't ever be a flyer. Now, you can even make mistakes in all these things, but you got to get a 100 A+ and staying on the rails, no matter what. Got it? You up for it?
Tootle promised that he would remember and that he would work very hard.
See, he knows. Tootle promised, like, I'll do it, man. I'll work really hard. I'm there with you, all right?
He did, too. He even worked hard at stopping for a red flag waving. Tootle did not like those lessons at all. There is nothing a locomotive hates more than stopping.
There's nothing a locomotive hates more than stopping.
But Bill said that no locomotive ever, ever kept ever. Going when he saw a red flag waving.
Ever. Never kept going when you saw a red flag waving. Man, you get you a bunch of holy rollers running in service and pastor stops you. You're like, but I feel good. Man, y'all like stopping a freight train. Same thing happens, man. I want you to teach Sunday school. Yeah, all right. Man, you get going. He's like, okay, I don't want you teaching no more. What? But things were going good. Man, you get into a rhythm. Matter of fact, if pastor says, stop, stop. If your parents say, stop, stop. I know it's deep and theological and hard to grasp, but sometimes God will just stop you. And the reason is, if you learn to stop red flags waving, the bridge may be out. There's danger ahead. There's a reason you're stopping. I don't see the reason. It's irrelevant. There's a red flag up. You always, always, always learn to stop for red flag waving. And you can't gripe about it. That's why you practice screeching and stopping. I told that in one church, and sure enough, somebody had done something. The pastor told them to sit, and they got all mad and left the church. I'm like, 2 weeks too late. See? They had heard tootle. They had still been there. They're like, oh, it's just a trial. Well, that's my philosophy anyway. Go ahead.
One day, while Tootle was practicing for his lesson and staying on the rails, no matter what, a dreadful thing happened.
Dreadful means bad. That's all I got. Go ahead. Just in case y'all didn't know that.
He looked across the meadow he was running through and saw a fine, strong black horse.
Woo. Good looking horse. Go ahead.
Race you to the river, shouted the black horse and kicked up his heels.
I'll be the black horse. I'll be the good looking one. I try to do that as much as possible. All of a sudden that black horse says, ooh, come on, I'll race you. Go ahead.
Away went the horse. His black tail streamed out behind him, his mane tossed in the wind. Oh, how he could run.
Hold on. Boy, he was just a booking it. I love to see a horse run. Man, them muscles. It's probably because of the muscles. I never had any. So, man, it's like watching them muscles tense and run. Boy, hair whipping in the wind. He was booking it. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
Here I go, said Tootle to himself. Here I go. If I'm going to be a flyer, I can't let a horse beat me. Man, everyone at school would laugh at me.
I can't let a horse beat me if I'm going to be a train. If I'm going to be a flyer, you can't let a horse beat you. Gracious, what's the point of being a train? Take off. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
His wheels turned so fast they were silver streaks. The cars lurched and bumped together. And just as Tootle was sure that he could win, the tracks made a great curve.
Then all of a sudden, the tracks turned. Isn't that one of the rules? Come around curves safely. Go ahead, Sister Moore. What happened?
Oh, whistle, cried Tootle. That horse will beat me now. He'll run straight while I take the great curve.
And what's the number one rule? Stay on the rails, no matter what. Go ahead.
Then the dreadful thing happened.
Bad.
After all that Bill had said about staying on the rails no matter what, Tootle jumped off the tracks and raced alongside the black horse.
Now he's off in the meadow. Hold on, wait. All of a sudden, he takes off across the meadow. There was only one rule you got to get an A-plus on. Everything else you can make mistakes on. One rule, you got to stay on the rails no matter what. Go ahead.
The race ended in a tie.
Oh, Sister Moore, that cannot be. You mean the very thing that got him off the rails, the very thing that pulled him away from the one thing. Surely he won. Read that again.
The race ended in a tie.
Mark my words. The very thing that pulls you away from God will disappear. Nowhere else in this story does this horse ever appear again. If it's a girl, she'll go away. If it's a guy, it'll go away. If it's money, it'll disappear. If it's a position, it'll go away. The very thing that pulls you away from God is going to disappear. And the worst part about it is you can't even win. It ended in a tie. Tootle didn't even win. After all that race, racing, getting off the tracks. He figured, I got to beat him. So he races all the way to the end, and sure enough, he doesn't even win. I know he had to have been upset about not winning. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you, after all this effort of coming to church, listening and living for God, and something pulls you away from God, you would think you could conquer it. And if you didn't, you'd be upset, right? Go ahead, Sister Moore.
It's nice here in the meadow, Tootle said. When Tootle got back to
school... Wait. Didn't he complain about it? He never even griped about it?
When Tootle got back to school, he said nothing about leaving the rails.
Wait. Hold on. Get back over here, Tootle. Get back to the... Look how gung-ho they are. Get back on the rails. Okay. Sister Moore, I know what happens. Oh, man. I know what happens. When bad things happen, that's why God puts pastor and leadership in our life. Surely that he went to the boss and he says, look, I made a mistake. This is what happened. Because even in the Old Testament, the Bible says when leprosy was found in the house that they would remove the segment. And then they would call the preacher in and say, hey, look, you know, and he'd say either remove the segment, shut up the house or something. So surely he called and said, look, I made a mistake. What do we do here?
When Tootle got back to school, said nothing about leaving the rails.
Nothing?
But he thought about it that night in the roundhouse.
He didn't say one word to anybody. That's where accountability, or lack thereof, will destroy you. If you have no accountability to somebody, it's going to mess you up. But here's the thing. I want you to remember this. After he got back, he thought about it. It bothered him because he had gotten off the rails. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
Tomorrow I will work hard, decided Tootle. Mm-hmm. I will not even think of leaving the rails,
right.
No matter what.
I'm going to stay on these rails. I'm going to practice this one thing tomorrow. Forget the rest of it. Because I had done so bad, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it.
And he did work hard.
And he did.
He practiced tootling so much that the mayor himself ran up the hill, his green coattails flapping.
Mayor himself, capital H-I-M, that's his name. Well, I thought it was funny. But Tootle was tootling real loud. Tootle.
And said that everyone in the village...
Oh, no, wait a minute. That's a...
Tootle.
Say Tootle.
Tootle.
Mayor himself come flapping up. And what did the mayor say?
And said that everyone in the village had a headache. And would he please stop tootling?
You can't give everybody a headache, but Tootle.
Tootle.
Okay. Tootle. It's got to be like, Tootle. But since you're new, it's just like, Tootle. Louder.
Tootle.
Louder.
Tootle.
But the mayor himself come up and says, listen, you're giving us a headache. Would you shut up about all this stuff? Because what's the whistle blowing? Oh, man, just driving them nuts. Let me tell you about what happened in church. Man, God did a great thing. And isn't it funny that people make such mistakes they try to compensate? It don't work that way. But man, he was tootling. He's like, tootle, tootle, tootle. And he was practicing, staying on the rails. What happened next, Sister Moore?
So Tootle was sent to practice staying on the rails no matter what.
Just go practice staying on the rails. Leave me alone. Okay, hold on. Go ahead.
As he came to the great curve, Tootle looked across the meadow. It was full of buttercups.
Wait a minute. Where's the horse? No horse? Isn't that funny? So he comes to the great curve. You see what happens, man. Life goes good. All of a sudden, God throws in whoosh, a different direction. You've been doing good. You've been doing so good. I want you to do something different now. That's so aggravating. And all of a sudden, he's like, wait a minute. The meadow. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
It's like a big yellow carpet.
Look at all them buttercups.
Oh, how I should like to play in them and hold one under my searchlight to see if I like butter, thought Tootle.
And buttercups. There's no butter in buttercups. Go ahead.
But no.
No.
I'm going to be a flyer, and I must practice staying on the rails no matter what.
No matter what. Okay, he's going to practice staying on the rails.
Tootle clicked and clacked around the great curve. His wheels began to say over and over, do you like butter? Do you? Do you like butter? Do you?
Clicking and clacking over the rails. See, that's a practice. That's a practice thing. That's consistency. You know, even the very actions started saying something different. You see, sometimes it's not so much what you're doing. Sometimes it's where you're at. It's what you're thinking about. It's what your mind is processing in your head. Do you like butter? Do you? Do you like butter? Do you? Instead of consistency and living for the Lord. You see, whatever you fill your mind up with, that's what it produces.
Yes.
Y'all want to learn to live perfect? Fill it up with something good and get rid of the junk. That's why you should be very careful of the entertainment that you indulge yourself in, from books to whatever it is, games, anything. You've got to be careful. You know, everything in modesty, you've got to be really careful, because I know people, I don't do really bad stuff. Sometimes it's not even the bad stuff, Pastor. Sometimes it's the amount of things. If your mind is only consumed with whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, think on these things. And you can't do that. You've got to fill it up with Scripture. But all of a sudden, man, his very motion, his very action started asking, don't you want to be out here? Do you like butter? Wouldn't you like to find out? Wouldn't you like to see what's in them butter cups? What happens? No, he didn't get off the rails, especially after it bothered him all night.
I don't know, said Tootle crossly, but I'm going to find out. He stopped much faster than any good flyer ever does. He hopped off the tracks and bumped along the meadow to the yellow
buttercups. Yeah, well, anyway. So he jumps off, and he bumps along in the meadow. He's not even supposed to be there. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
He danced around and around and held one of the buttercups under his searchlight.
He danced around and around.
I do like
butter.
Wait, hold on.
They're trying to catch up. Hold on. Wait. They danced around and around hollering, I do like butter. I do. Okay, so they can't dance. He said, I do like butter. I do. I like it out here. This ain't so bad. Go ahead.
At last, the sun began to go down, and it was time to hurry back to the roundhouse.
So then he came back to the roundhouse. Come on. He hurried back to the roundhouse. Semi-hurried back to the roundhouse. Now, after he went off the first day, come back, it bothered him all night. So you know that's going to happen again. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
That evening.
Wait a minute. About Tootle. What else is there about Tootle? Really? It doesn't say anything about it bothering him? Isn't that bizarre? Well, if this was wrong, God would convict me. Mm-mm. You see, the first time he did something, it bothered him all night. But the next time, he didn't even think about it. If you consistently do something, it won't bother you after a while. It'll just be a part of you. Hallelujah, praise God. I'm letting that soak in a little bit. Yeah, I know, I should have preached the other message. Y'all have been smiling at me. Hallelujah. Be very careful of the people you hang out with. Because they will pull you into an area and do something, and it'll bother you, man. Oh, it'll rip you up. You'll be in the altars. You'll be praying. And then all of a sudden, you're like, well, nothing bad really happened. So how about this? You didn't even explore this. And next thing you know, you're out there, and it's like, oh, well. And then all of a sudden, you go home. You go right to sleep. But that night, what happened, Sister Moore?
That evening, while the chief oiler was playing checkers with old Bill.
Wait a minute. Hold on. There's some new characters coming in, so let me introduce you to some new characters. The engineer. The engineer teaches and navigates. That's God, okay? That's his job. He teaches and he navigates. Then there's the chief oiler. He repairs and maintains. That's the anointing. The anointing will repair your life and maintain your life. There's anointing in a lot of different areas. It comes from the pastor, the preacher, the evangelist, okay? But the anointing, it comes through the strangest spots sometimes, okay? Then you have the day watchman. That's you. That's your pastor. He keeps watch of the tracks and maintains the tracks. That's their job. Go ahead. So that night, while what?
That evening, while the chief oiler was playing checkers with old Bill, He said, "It's odd. It's very odd, but I found grass between Toodle's front wheels today."
You know, that's really odd. Isn't it funny how all of a sudden this evangelist comes in and the anointing hits him and he starts talking about things and you're like, "Woo! Somebody been talking about me." And how God and the anointing will get together and say, "You know what? It's very odd. I found grass in the wheels today." There's not supposed to be grass in the wheels. Now, and here's the other thing I always find funny. It's like, you know what? If God wants to deal with me, he'll come to me and deal with me. What happened, Sister Moore? Go ahead.
Said Bill. "There must be grass growing on the tracks." "Not on our tracks," said the day watchman who spent his days watching the tracks and his nights watching Bill and the chief oiler play checkers.
There must be, all of a sudden God says, "You know what? There must be grass on the tracks." Is there grass on the tracks? And the day watchman says, "Not on my tracks." You see, you think when you do something wrong, God will come to you immediately. The first person God goes to is this man. You better be preaching it straight. You better be talking about it right. Because if you're given, I'm giving you as a day watchman. If they stumble in their ways and you don't warn them, it's your fault.
That's right.
Don't you get mad at your pastor because he preaches straight. It's your pastor's job. Your pastor. Watch this. Your pastor's supposed to walk the tracks and make sure that everything on this line is cleaned up and set up just proper, making sure, because this is where you're supposed to be. And his job is to make sure that it's cleaned and straightened and works just right so that whenever, man, if he's pointing this church, because I'm telling you, if he points this church in the wrong direction, he's sending off, you're still okay. God will deal with him. And if you're doing something, there's something wrong with you, God says, "Hey, you better be teaching my people to worship. You better be teaching my people to pray. You better be teaching them how to live for God." Pardon your pastor if he gets a little extra excited and wants you to do a little something extra. You know why? Because he's looking out for your soul. I'm telling you, this is scripture. I can give you scripture after scripture. First thing God does is go straight to the pastor and says, "What are you doing? What's wrong with your church? Are you taking care of this?" "Yes, sir." "Man, I preached one God tongue talk in Jesus' name. I tell them that they're supposed to walk right and spit on the right side of the road." I'm telling you, if that pastor's preaching it straight, you better love him. Because he's the day watchman. And I'll tell you another thing. If you'll notice, what does it say? He does what? He spends his
days watching the tracks and his nights watching Bill and the chief oiler play checkers.
Well, this is personal expense. Well, I just, you know, that pastor just give me an answer. I just don't know. Yeah, that's because at night he's praying for you. That's because in the times that you can't see, he's playing checkers with the oiler and the engineer. He's sitting with the anointing. He's sitting with God in times that you'll never even see. There's times that he's praying for you. There's times that God is bringing you up before him. And whenever he comes before you, don't think it's just a whim. It's because God is trying to send something to you. Hallelujah. Sam, I got to finish preaching. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
Bill's face was stern. Toodle knows he must get 100 A-plus and staying on the rails no matter what if he's going to be a flyer.
All of a sudden, God says, "Wait a minute. But Bill, but Toodle knows he's got to stay on the rails. Surely, still doesn't go to Toodle. He goes to him." He's like, "No, he knows he's got to get a 100 A-plus. I can't imagine what's wrong." Go ahead.
The next day, Toodle played all day in the meadow.
Wait a minute. What about the great curve?
He played.
Wait. Did you skip anything? Oh, wait a minute. Come here, Toodle. Get out here in the meadow. Wow. The first day, there was something there pulling him out into a place he shouldn't be. The second day, just because there was a change, he thought about it. He worried about it. The next time, there's not even a mention of the curve. This has just become typical life. You see, it become a process. It just become a pattern. It's like, "Oh, well, pastor, doesn't bother me to go there or to hang out with them or to do this. You know why? It just doesn't bug me a bit." It's because you've been doing it too long.
That's right.
It's still good preaching.
Amen.
Okay, start that again. So the next day.
Next day, Tootle played all day in the meadow. He watched a green frog. He made a daisy chain.
Aww.
He found a rain barrel, and when he said softly, toot, toot, shouted the barrel.
Oh, and say toodle.
Toodle.
Toot.
Why, I sound like a flyer already, cried Tootle.
I sound like a flyer already. Was he a flyer? But he sounded like one. You see, there's the difference. There's the danger. You start hanging out with the wrong people in the wrong places and stuff, and all of a sudden that devil will start telling you, you know what? You can handle it. You can handle that relationship. And your pastor's saying, he's bad news, girl. Guys, boys, let me tell you something. You choose the wrong wife, you done messed up. I've seen more ministries destroyed by women. And I've seen more women destroyed by men. And I'm telling you, you get the wrong partner. You see that right there? That's the best thing that ever happened in my life. I'm telling you, I married a woman that's great. And don't get me wrong. Did they marry evil women? Mm-mm. No, not necessarily. But it might not have been the right person because they got anxious. I was 28 when I got married. Yeah, I'm 33 in case y'all didn't know it. Hallelujah. Be a children's evangelist. Keep you young. I'm married when I was 28. You can't tell me nothing about being single. Hallelujah. Only person I was ever engaged to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think about some of them girls I dated. If I'd married them, woo, what was me? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, don't rush it. Why? Oh. Because all of a sudden that devil start whispering to you, you can handle that relationship. I don't care what they say. Listen, you sound like a flyer. Toot, toot. See, you sound just like, man, you're preaching. You're good enough. Who cares what that pastor's saying? I don't care what that Sunday school teacher's saying. You can handle it. You can do it. You know why? Because in the world, if you sound like you can do it or you look like you can do it, it's okay. But here at the church, God wants to build who you are so when the winds blow, you're established enough. It's not about what you look like. It's about who you are. There's a big difference. God wants to build the man. God wants to build the woman. Sure, it may take a little more time, but I'm telling you, in the end, it makes all the difference in the world. One of the best evangelists out there is Brother Jason Dillon, and he didn't preach till forever. We was just talking about him today. His first revival was in Tickfall, Louisiana, and I'm telling you, he's preached around the world. But man, oh, to talk to him. Oh, I was preaching for Brother Dillon, and we're sitting there, and he took me out to eat, and this waitress come up to us. Oh, man, she just looked like she'd been hit by a truck, man. She was just miserable. And come to find out later, she was like, this is my first day, and y'all been the nicest people to me all day. We're like, oh, we're good. All of a sudden, Brother Jason Dillon starts talking about the Holy Ghost. Starts talking about how wonderful it is and peaceful and loving. And I'm sitting there like, oh, I want that. I got that. Cool. And I was evangelist. I'm like, wow, room full. Youth Congress. Any of y'all ever been to Youth Congress? There's a couple of young people there, isn't there? This building is full of thousands of young people all over the place. And I look over and there's one man leaned against his broom, the only Pentecostal not in the building. And there's Brother Jason Dillon leaned against the garbage can just to talk in. And I'm like, figures. You know why? Did he rush into this? No. You know what happened? Is he didn't just sound like a flyer. He built it. And he allowed God to penetrate his soul and to teach him and build a strong pillar so he could be strong. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
That night, the first assistant oiler said he found a daisy in Toodle's bell. Hold on.
Get back over here. He's back over here. See, I forget this isn't bothering him anymore. He's just doing things he ain't supposed to be doing. Watch this. Go ahead.
That night, the first assistant oiler said that he had found a daisy in Toodle's bell.
Found a daisy in his bell.
The day after that, the second assistant oiler said that he had found hollyhock flowers floating in Toodle's 8 bowls of soup.
Hollyhock. Problems with the soup. Flowers, yeah. Hollyhock flowers. I'll get it out in a minute. Was that it?
And then the mayor himself said that he had seen Toodle chasing butterflies in the meadow.
Okay, now I want you to watch the process here. Okay, before we get to that, I want you to see the process here. The first thing that they found was stuff in the wheels. Trains don't have legs, so we'll do wheels. Okay. The second thing they found was daisies in the bell. The next thing they found was hollyhock stuff in the soup. The first thing when you start getting away from God that happens is it changes your walk. It changes your lifestyle. It changes the places you go. It changes the way that you live. See, that's your walk. That's your lifestyle. It changed the way. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, nobody knows. Oh, yeah, because the second thing that happens is they find it in the bell. It's like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You see, what happens is whenever you get to church, your worship changes. Your praise changes. The way that you interact with God in service changes, and you think you're fooling everybody. But then the next thing that happens, here's what worries me the most. Sister Moore, he's out in the field out there. Then all of a sudden it gets on the inside of him. It's in the soup. That's on the inside. Oh, sure, these are all outside things, but it's that inside that worries me because he's so encumbered with this that it gets down inside of here. And then what happens next?
And then the mayor himself said that he had seen Tootle chasing butterflies in the meadow.
I saw
the mayor himself said that Tootle had looked very silly, too.
You see, they'll tell you, oh, cut your hair, wear pants. Do all this other stuff, you know? I mean, they'll pressure you guys to go places, do things, and as soon as you do it, they're like, you should look stupid. You know why? Because you don't fit in that scenario. They'll pressure you. You know why they pressure you? Even at the workplace. Because everybody else that they've ever worked with, went to school with, and everything has finally folded. Oh, I'm a Christian. Next thing you know, they test them and test them and test them. They start cussing. They're like, thought so. Now all of a sudden you're like, oh, but this is different. Jesus' name, tongue talking, Holy Ghost, this is different. They're like, mm-hmm, let's see. Next thing you know, they start testing you, they start pressing you. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, so I'm dancing around in the meadows, tiptoeing through the tulips out there, changing butterflies, and boy, sure looks silly. He looked goofy out there. See, there's still something different about it, but it's like, it just doesn't fit because that's not where you belong. Even, matter of fact, I had a boss one time, and I don't even know what I was going to say, but there was something happened, and he turned to me, and he goes, hey, don't you ever go back on what you believe, not for me or anybody else. And you got to understand, I knew the lady this guy was having an affair with. I mean, it's like, this guy was not anywhere near a Christian. He did that to me twice, and God was just showing me, no matter who it is or what they believe or where they're at, they're watching you very closely because people want something different and they're not going to change until they find something worth changing too. That's why when the problems come, you got to make sure that the Holy Ghost has penetrated into your soul. Go ahead, Sister Moore. What's next? What happened after the mayor?
Early one morning, Bill had a long, long talk with the mayor himself.
Oh, wait. If you'll notice, Bill, the engineer, God has not even went to Tootle. He hadn't said a word to him yet. Not a thing, Pastor. Just waiting, just to see. We liked it. That was like this morning talking about coming on strong. Yeah, if you didn't hear this morning by the tape, that was free, guys. But they got this pretty little glass prison up there. Y'all can just walk right in and... Yeah. But we talked about God coming on too strong. Man, sometimes I'm just like, God, punch him in the head. Wake him up. I'll do it for you. Can't they see what's going on? But sure enough, all of a sudden, this has been going on. He's just going out into the village every day, just going out there. And then all of a sudden, one morning, read that again. Here's what happens.
Early one morning, Bill had a long, long talk with the mayor himself.
Let's have a talk, mayor.
When the mayor himself left the lower train switch school for locomotives, he laughed all the way to the village.
Oh, yeah, that'll work.
Bill's plan will surely put Tootle back on the track, he chuckled. Bill ran from one store to the next, buying 10 yards of this and 20 yards of that and all you have of the other. The chief oiler and the first, second, and third assistant oilers were hammering and sawing instead of oiling and polishing. And Tootle? Well, Tootle was in the meadow watching the butterflies flying and wishing that he could dip and soar as they did.
All of a sudden, everybody's involved. God shows up and all the anointings involved, the engineer, the watchman, the whole town is involved. But watch what they do. This is so cool. Y'all ready?
Not a store in Lower Train Switch was open the next day.
It cost them because they had to go from store to store no more. Isn't that aggravating? You'd wish people would just live right. It wouldn't cost you a dime. But you know what happens? It costs to win souls. And because God wants to see how much you're willing to do. It takes work. They were hammering and sawing and said, oh, it's easy preaching, Pastor. This is just fun stuff, man. It's like eating just chocolate ice cream. Holy, praise God. See, feel the Holy Ghost. You know, it's like milkshakes. But this is just like dessert. See, the biggest work is out there when you're talking to people, when you're teaching people, when you're working with people, when you're talking to them, honoring no good workers and then people at school and you just, that's where it happens at. Now, all of a sudden, they're all getting involved, but let's see what happens. Go ahead. What happened? Come here. I'll be Tootle. You hang on to me. Come on.
Not a store in Lower Train Switch was open the next day and not a person was at home. By the time the sun came up, every villager was hiding in the meadow along the tracks.
Everybody was hiding.
And each of them had a red flag.
And everybody
It had taken all the red goods in Lower Train Switch and hard work by the oilers, but there was a red flag for everyone.
It took all the material and it took a lot of hard work, but everybody was getting involved now. Watch this.
Soon, Tootle came tootling happily down the tracks. When he came to the meadow, he hopped off the tracks and rolled along the grass. Just as he was thinking what a beautiful day it was, a red flag poked up from the grass and waved hard.
Whoa! Then all of a sudden, where's it at? All of a sudden, there was this big old red flag waving. What happens with the red flag? You stop! Go ahead, Sister Moore, what happened?
Tootle stopped, for every locomotive knows he must stop for a red flag waving. I'll go another way, said Tootle.
Hold on, Sister Moore, we're going to go another way. You know, I know a young girl that quit living for God, and she was in the bar room, and she called my mom one day and says, you'll never believe who came into the bar. I could not believe they were there. And my mom's like, and you? She goes, I know. You see, we think people that quit, yeah, some of y'all get it, it'll take a minute. But you see, people who backslide, sometimes they don't all just quit. Not everybody just quits everything. Sometimes they just quit portions of it. But there are some rules that stick with you forever. That's like some of these kids who come through here and their parents don't come. Next thing you know, whenever they hit 12, they disappear. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, they came back. I remember coming to this church when I was just a little kid. You know what happens is they remember segments of that. The whistle blowing, stopping for red flags, waving. Man, if they can just get that one thing, just stopping. Okay, we can't be over there because there's a red flag over there. So we're going to go ahead, Sister Moore, what happened?
He turned to the left and up came another waving red flag.
And this time from where?
From the middle of the buttercups.
From the middle of... And we were just like in buttercups. There come this red flag from the buttercups. Oh, okay, so we can't go over there. We got to go. So what didn't happen?
When he went to the right, there was another red flag.
And there was another red flag. From where?
From the... Just a red flag waving.
Just a red flag. Whoa! It's a red flag wave. Okay, so we can't be over here. Come on, let's go over.
There were red flags waving from the buttercups.
From the buttercups.
In the daisies.
In the daisies.
Under the trees.
Hold
near
on.
Near the bluebird's nest.
Under the trees, by the bluebird's nest. Keep going.
And even one behind the rain barrel.
I missed a flag.
It's over there.
Ah! There it is. That's kind of freaky. I would have never expected it behind the rain barrel. It's a big rain barrel. All of a sudden, this is like miserable. Go ahead, Sister Moore.
And of course, Tootle had to stop for each one.
Had to
stop. The locomotive must always stop for a red flag waving.
He's in the meadow. He's where he shouldn't be. And he's still stopping for the red flags. Who would have guessed? Go ahead, Sister Moore.
Red flags, muttered Tootle. This meadow is full of red flags.
There's red flags waving everywhere. There's one over there. There's one there. Where? All over the meadow.
How can I have any fun?
They won't let me do nothing.
Whenever I start, I have to stop. Why did I think this meadow was such a fine place?
I don't know. They won't let me have no fun. You can't do nothing out here. I'm sure y'all never heard that as parents have it. Y'all won't let me do nothing. I can have no fun. Maybe it's where you're at. Maybe it's who you're hanging out with. Why? Because there's red flag. Look, there's red flags everywhere. Look at how I'm waving. Some of them are waving. Most of them are waving. There they go. Look at there. Red flags everywhere in the meadow. All right, Sister Moore.
Why don't I ever see a green flag?
Why can't I see a green flag? Hey, Pastor, come up here.
Just as the tears were ready to slide out of his boiler.
Out of his boiler. Ain't that cute?
Toodle happened to look back over his coal car. On the track stood
Bill.
And
there on the tracks.
And in his hand was a big green flag.
Right here. Go ahead, Sister Moore. Hold on.
Toodle puffed up to Bill and stopped. This is the place for me, said Toodle. There's nothing but red flags for locomotives that get off their tracks.
Go ahead. They're just in their own little world out here.
Hooray, shouted the people of Lower Train Switch and jumped up from their hiding places.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Watch this. This is the place for me. There's nothing in the meadow. This is the place for me. This is where I belong. Right here. If you're feeling lonely and not quite sure what to do, forget the people that even go to church, because it's not about them, it's about him. Because this is where you belong. Right here. There's nothing for you in the meadow. Go ahead, Sister Moore. Oh, let's wrap this up.
Now Toodle now is a famous 2 miles a minute flyer. The young locomotives listen to his advice.
Mm-hmm. Now he's
work
teaching.
Work hard, he tells them.
Work hard.
Always remember to stop for a red flag waving.
Because that's an important one.
But
most of all,
stay on the rails no matter what.
Stay on the rails no matter what. Let's make this real simple. Just live for God. No matter what. Just live for God. No matter what. No matter what comes, no matter what goes. Just live for God. Young, be seated. Pick up this stuff for me, please. You see, I want to explain a couple of things. First of all, it's where Toodle was, not what he was doing. He was in the grass. He wasn't smoking it. Okay? Sometimes it's your location that's a problem. Sometimes it's your lack of location. If you just skip in church. But God knows my heart. Sometimes that's the problem. He knows. You see, there's nothing for locomotives in the meadow. There's nothing. You know what happens when you get grass in the wheels? It's called wheel bearings. All it takes is a little bit. All of a sudden it starts eroding those bearings. All of a sudden the wheels start to rot and the wheels come off and there's a huge crash. Do you know what happens to real trains when they come off the track? It's always destructive. You look, before you decide that you're going to quit living for God or decide not to, I want you to interview some people. I want you to start looking at people that have decided to quit living for God. And you look at the destructive force that swept through their life. Are there problems on the track? Yes. But on the track, you have the engineer. You have the oiler. You have the day watchman. You have people watching for your soul. You have people that care for you. You can make mistakes. You can spill the soup. You can have problems on the inside. The Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquities and he bled for all of our. You see, the problem, quote it for me, I'm already ahead of myself. Wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. A wound bleeds on the outside. You cut yourself, what happens? You bleed. Punch you, you don't cut, and all of a sudden there's this black thing. What is that? It's a bruise. What's happening? It's blood on the inside. Isn't that funny how God would bleed on the outside for all the things everybody sees, but he would bleed on the inside for the things nobody sees? His blood covers everything. It's okay that you're going to make a problem every now and then, because you'll get that. You'll work on that. You'll learn to start this stuff. Ugh. Be just as smooth. Sure, you know, coming around curves safely. Every now and then you may falter and it may shake a little bit. Sure, the clicking and clacking. Man, you're going to have problems in your life and you're going to fuss about it and be later. I'm sorry, y'all. I shouldn't have said that. I did this. But the one thing you got to get right is just live for God. I don't understand why pastor is saying the things he says. Who cares? Just live for God. But I don't understand why this problem is in my life. It doesn't matter. Just live for God. Musicians, come on. You see, the one thing, the only thing, it's right there in the book of Tootle. It says the only thing you got to do is get that one thing, 100 A+. 100 A+ and staying on the rails no matter what. You just got to stay on the rails. Everything else is learnable. But the one thing you got to get right is live for God. Live for God. Live for God. Live for God. I know. You think it's more complicated than that. I know you may be looking for some kind of deep philosophy. You got to think Brother Booker coming. Oh my goodness. Go to this conference. They'll give you all sorts of stuff. You can go home going, okay. Maybe this is just a little too simple. Maybe it's just a simple little gold nugget, you know, just a little piece. But you can't get anything unless you get this. If you learn to stay on the rails, when problems come and blow, you're okay because you're locked on the rails. When situations come in and start sweeping across you, you may falter and lean a little bit. But you know what? I'm going to stay on the rails. If you got problems, man, all of a sudden something comes against you. You just don't know what to do. All you see is a red flag. Stop! It's okay to stand still. It's okay not to progress. But it's not okay to get off the rails. It's okay to stop and let God teach you and not progress in the ministry. It's okay to stop and absorb a little bit and get something in the Holy Ghost and not be praying people through because you're absorbing. What you cannot do is quit living for God. It doesn't work that way. You gotta live for God, young ladies. Men, you gotta live for God. Just stay on the rails no matter what. If you will learn, oh, I can't say it enough. If you'll learn this one concept, everything in your life will seem mundane. Because it's like, you know what? I've made up my mind. I don't get it. Pastor's fussing at me for no reason. Who cares? I'm going to live for God. The music director, she was mean today, but who cares? I'm living for God. My best friend won't talk to me, but who cares? I'm still going to live for God. I go to church and I haven't felt God in a month. But who cares? It'll show up eventually because I'm living for God no matter what. Just live for God. Just live for God. Just live for God. We make it too complicated. Yes, there are things you got to learn. That's what I told you. That's why you come here. That's why you practice clicking and clacking. That's why you practice all these things. But it's just the one simple concept. Here's how you do it, Pastor. I don't feel good. I'm going to go to church. Because I'm going to learn a little something else and I'll tuck it away. I may not can use it now, but I'm going to put it back in my pocket. Okay. I'll walk through the day. Am I going to cuss and holler and scream at everybody? No. If I can't say something nice, then I'm going to say nothing at all. Thumper philosophy. I'm gonna keep an even keel. If I can't seem to be sweet, I'm just gonna shut my mouth. You know why? Because in the end, they're gonna say, man, he's just living for God. Do you feel it? No. Don't matter though. I'm gonna stay on the rails. All of a sudden, a problem changes in my life and shifts. I think I should be going that way, but God is sending me this way. I'm gonna go this way. My pastor asked me in Louisiana, says, what are you going to do? I was like, well, I was a youth pastor. I thought I was doing a really good job. I was supposed to do it for 2 months. A year and a half later, he comes up to me. I'm like, whatever you want me to do, pastor, whatever. I'm like, there's way too many jobs. And this is one of my words. I said, I'll work with college and career. I'll teach Bible studies. I don't care. There's way too many jobs for me to get upset. If you want somebody else to do this job, give it to somebody. I'll do something different. I don't care. All of a sudden, he says, I'll take it from you. He said, I'm going to give so-and-so it. I said, okay. Immediately after that, God started opening up doors for me to evangelize. Would have never happened if I'd had a different attitude. You know why? Because I'm like, I'm just going to live for God. The rest is irrelevant. I'm going to stay on the rails no matter what. I'm going to live for God no matter what. I'm going to live for God no matter what. You tell God, I am sorry if I've done anything to offend you, because I want the day watchman to watch over my soul. I want the engineer to guide and navigate me, Lord. I want the anointing to flow through me so everything works nice. Take the daisies out of my bell, Lord, so I can praise you. Take the junk out of my suit. Take it out of my heart, God, if there's anything on the inside. Take it out of my lifestyle so that I can be glorious to you, because I want to become a flyer. I want to start telling other people, listen, stop for red flags waving. But the one thing you got to get, my friend, is stay on the rails. Man, you get that Holy Ghost and it'll lock you to them rails. Go. You want the Holy Ghost? Get up here. Sorry, I don't beg. If you hadn't decided to live for God by now, I can't help. But if you want a new commitment, if you want to dedicate your life, ladies, to living for God no matter what, I want you in these altars. Guys, if you're dedicating yourself no matter what, I want you to give God praise. A new commitment. Just stay on the rails no matter what.